Well then, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the question for us to reflect upon today is, what do you do without Jesus? Well, I think really we would be lost without Jesus, still in our sins, right? The sad reality of this life is that sin is such a great problem that there is nothing that we can do to fix it. And this problem of sin is so great that even if we sin once, we're lost. Even if it's something just small and minor, something we don't consider to be a big deal, it still means we're lost. It's still a big deal for God. And it destroys our relationship with Him. And I think one of the most difficult things about sin is that there are times when we don't even realize we're doing it. As we confess, it's the stuff that we do and the stuff that we leave undone. And sometimes we don't even realize that we are being unloving or unforgiving or uncharitable. How many times have you been up in the cities, maybe going to a Vikings or a Twins game, and you walk by somebody who's obviously in need and you just ignore them? I think we've all had a situation like that. Or the more common one, I think, is you have somebody that you work with, whether it's at your job or in something else that you do, that is just, they're just so hard to get along with. They frustrate you at every step, right? And so you just don't want to deal with them. You just can't stand to be around them. And it causes you to be unloving towards them. Paul's words are very true. We have all fallen short. But the wonderful thing about our God is that He understands this need that we have. He knows it, and He understands the inherent brokenness that we have. So He gives us His love by sending us His Son. And what's wonderful is Jesus doesn't just show up and say a few kind words. He doesn't show up just to be a really good teacher. He doesn't just show up to perform miracles that are just unbelievable and unreal, healing people like has never been seen before. While all those things are wonderful, that is not why He's here. Jesus enters into our time to love us in only the way that God can. We see in our gospel reading today, Jesus says, "I'm leaving, I'm going, and things aren't going to get better. But take heart and take peace. As I am going, I'm going to the Father." You should rejoice in that I'm going to the Father. "But I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to send to you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And He will be with you." Now we sang it in our first hymn. There was a word when we all stood up and we were singing about the Trinity. There was a word in there used to describe the Holy Spirit called paraclete. Right? That's paraclete, not parakeet. Right? So the Holy Spirit isn't some, little parrot. Paraclete, and here's your Greek lesson for the day because you're going to use it again, right? But paraclete is the Greek word that is there for helper. And it literally means somebody who is right by your side, walking with you through thick and thin. So that is the idea that Jesus wants the disciples to have when He says, "I'm sending you the Holy Spirit." This guy is going to be right next to you through every step of the journey. And as that journey continues, though, it doesn't really continue in super positive ways. Well, as we read it, it doesn't seem too positive. Because Jesus journeys to the cross, but is abandoned and denied by His disciples. And He goes to the cross experiencing great pain and agony. One of the ones that's most heartbreaking for me is He cries out to God and there is no answer, as even the Father has abandoned Him. But the reality of this is that all this is done willingly for us. Because that problem of sin requires this big of a sacrifice. And so His blood is shed for us to pay for our sins. He is abandoned so that we are not. And as Joseph, Nicodemus, and a handful of women take down the body of Christ and bury it in a fresh tomb, Jesus is sown into the earth as a seed. And our Easter joy is that He blooms like a flower, bursting forth from the grave. But as a flower will wilt, even in its beauty, that beauty will fade. Christ rises to eternity. And not only does he rise to eternity, but he brings it forth as a gift for all people. This is not just a one-time deal just to raise him from the dead. This is life eternal for all of us. And then what we celebrated last week was the ascension, that Jesus says, all right, guys, my work here is done. I'm going up to the Father. I'll be at his right hand and I'll be interceding for you. And, you know, I'm not going to leave you, but I'm not going to be physically with you. He instructs them, he leaves them, and we would expect that the disciples would feel quite abandoned by this, right? What do we do without Jesus? But we actually read in Scripture that they go about rejoicing. They gather together in worship in the temple. But about 10 days after the ascension is our celebration of Pentecost, when this mighty rush of wind enters into this room where they're all staying, and these bizarre little tongues of fire happen upon their heads, and they begin to speak God's word to all these people around them in all these various languages. And this wonderful work is what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is what it looks like when the Holy Spirit is at work. Well, granted, we don't always have little flames of fire on our head. But they were all questioning, what are we going to do without Jesus? And here, with the work of the Holy Spirit, they see, well, we could get to continue the work of the kingdom. And we celebrate that as the beginning of the church because things haven't changed. Our mission is still the very same mission. Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father, is still interceding for us, and has sent the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to be walking right with us. And as I like to think about it, the Father has created the kingdom for us, the kingdom of God. The Son has redeemed us so that we might be a part of the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do the work of the kingdom. And it's important to remember that this work begins with the Word of God and continues through our actions. And so what we read as the people gather together to proclaim the mighty works of God, it was done in word. They weren't really doing anything other than proclaiming. And the Holy Spirit worked through them so that they could clearly proclaim to these people who were from all over gathered in Jerusalem for this festival. And now here today, it's, well, we're not speaking different languages because you all understand English, right? There's purpose behind the tongues that are spoken. But it's the same thing, right? We gather together to hear God's word. I stand before you proclaiming God's word to you so that you might know and hear the mighty works of God, so that you might know your need for God, but also know how God has given you salvation. But it's also in those times when you start or end your day with a short devotion, when you gather with others for Bible study, when you randomly hear something from Scripture, anywhere the Word of God is preached and proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is at work. But also, it's important to remember that the work that we have been given to do in the kingdom is united, this word and action. And so to understand things as they're going, we do this in love. And our motivation to love, we hear in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. This is our drive and our push to do this work in the kingdom is because we have received these wonderful gifts. We want to do it as well. And one of those favorite quotes of mine, and nobody really knows who said it, but it's always attributed to Francis of Assisi, is that preach the gospel always, if necessary, use words. And I always like that because that helps remind me that it's not only done in word, but also in deed, in our hands and where our feet take us. That this is where the kingdom is. And also, it's really important that we remember that old phrase, to practice what you preach. Because James picks up on this, right? He says in James 2, 15 and 16, if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you tells them, go in peace, be warm and filled, and yet you didn't give him the things the body needs, what good is it? James is awesome because of how blunt he is. He does not pull any punches here. And that is truly how we are called to work in the kingdom. If we just keep on proclaiming the love of God but don't actually live the love of God, what good is it? If we are proclaiming that we get to be a part of the kingdom of God but we don't actually do any work in the kingdom, well, what good is it? God has lifted us up, has made us new and clean people, has blessed us with His Holy Spirit for His good purposes, right? As Paul says later in Scripture, created for good works, redeemed in Christ Jesus for these good works. And again, not for our salvation, but for the work of the kingdom, so that more might know what God has done for them and continues to do for them. We have to back up what we preach with our works. And I always think it's very necessary to understand with the book of James that this is for us who know Christ. This is not a book for new Christians, you know, or somebody who has no idea about the gospel. You give them the book of John, right? It's all love and all Jesus. Great things and a great introduction to who our God is. James is the one who works for us and with us and in us and through us, however you want to say it, to encourage us to live the faith we have been given. Right? Luther struggled with this book because this is the book that says faith without works is dead. And truly, it's all because James is getting us to practice what we preach. And in order to do this, you have to care, right? You have to be personally invested in people. You have to take a personal interest in people. You got to care about people. One of my rules of thumb in my life is if I don't care, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put any heart towards it. And so you have to take a personal interest in people. And it can't be a selfish or self-serving sort of thing, right? I think we've all experienced that person who does good and then makes sure that everybody knows how good they did. And all of us kind of find that kind of person insufferable, right? It's hard to listen to them do that because service at its core is humble, right? Forgetting the self, lifting up the others, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. But even for these people that are hard to work with, as God gives us patience and love for them, the Spirit is greatly at work there too. But going back to James, if you don't know this, I love the book of James. James says in 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And why? Because you deceive yourself if you only hear the word. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is this power of this helper that has been given to us is an equipper. And he equips us with these various gifts we read in Galatians, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. And these things that we have been called to do, these fruits that we have been called to bear. And all of these things that we've been called to do. And we fool ourselves when we think that we can only hear the word of God. Granted, it's a great and magnificent and marvelous thing to hear the word of God, but we are called to live this gospel, right? Paul picks it up in Romans 1, encouraging us not to be shy about this either, right? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And you are called to partner in this gospel, in this kingdom work that you get to do. And in these things, you get to do the word that you preach. And in all of these things, you are lifting up others for the sake of the kingdom. And if you look further in the book of Acts chapter 2, well, in honestly most of the book of Acts, you see the effects of the Holy Spirit. All of these various people who are hearing the word of God, right, the mighty works of God proclaimed to them, there is an effect that happens. They believe, right? Later on, it says, so those who received this word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This group of, I don't know, 20-ish some people grew to 3,000 plus because of what the work of the Holy Spirit is doing. And as we continue through the book of Acts, you see how they are living in word and deed to love and serve and grow and care. And that is the foundation of the church. You could say that Jesus is, you know, the cornerstone of the foundation. The other part of the foundation is the work that we are called to do, as we are called to be a part of the body of Christ, to be the hands and feet of the body of Christ. And you know, as we continue to reflect on that question, what do you do without Jesus? Well, we know truthfully in our hearts that we are not without Jesus, that He is with us, that He has provided the Holy Spirit to walk beside us so that we get to do this wonderful work in the kingdom. And dear friends, you must realize that in this work there will be successes, and there will be failures. There will be things that will excite you, and there will be things that discourage you. But that's why it's word and deed. And that's why we gather as a church. That's why we gather to constantly hear the Word of God, to receive His forgiveness, not only in confession and absolution, but also in the very body and blood of Christ. You could think of it like a holy pit stop, that we stop and we get recharged, that we confess where we have failed and done wrong, and we receive the forgiveness so that we can get charged up and get right back out to do the work of the kingdom. Because this is the work that the Holy Spirit has given you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.